Well, hello everybody. My name is Roland Trujillo, and welcome to the program. This is going to begin right now with a little brief discussion about the meditation exercise so you can understand what it is and why of it. I call it meditation because it's a good word, but actually it would be better to call it an observation exercise, learning to observe our own symptoms, our own reactions, and so on and so forth, so we can become self-aware. You see, what happens to us now is that when, at the first sighting of stress, we tend to go into the imagination. We've all become escape artists. We escape into the imagination whenever we're stressed, or whenever we're about to be stressed. All we have to do is think of standing up to our boss, or talking to our child's teacher, or anything of that nature, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in the imagination. And the same thing happens to us when we've just failed, when we've just been resentful, when we've just become impatient, when we've just been angry, when we just did the wrong thing, you know what I mean, bought the wrong thing. When we suddenly become aware that we failed in reality, then we escape into the imagination. The problem is, when you're lost in the imagination, there's several bad things happen. Number one, you're completely powerless. Number two, you begin to look around for answers down there. The answers that come out of the imagination are never the right answers. The right answers, see, the solution to our problems begins when we learn to not escape into the imagination, sometimes with the help of drugs, sometimes with the help of alcohol, sometimes with the help of music and entertainment and things that pull us into the imagination, you see. But when we don't, when the attitude of our soul changes and we no longer wish to escape from the truth, but we're willing to know what the truth is, see, then all of a sudden there we are in reality, and instead of escaping into the imagination, we're there observing our problem, see. And if you can remain there, willing to know the truth, see, pained by what you see, embarrassed by what you see, perhaps. See what I mean? Mostly because our ego is embarrassed, humbled. Then the right answers come by way of intuition. For sure, you're no longer a part of the problem. You're separate from the problem. And for sure, when you're not lost in the imagination, then you can observe things in the light of reality and see things as they are and take appropriate steps. One of the most important reasons for the meditation is to get out of thinking, out of the imagination, so that you're no longer lost in the imagination, but now you're the observer of thought. You see what I mean? So that's a very important thing. That's step number one. And the benefit of that is that when you're not in the imagination, you're closer to the light of truth. So we all have something called intuition. Animals have instinct, humans have intuition, which God gives us. And when we walk in that light, see, then we have guidance in that light, and we're friends with that light. When we escape into the imagination, not only do we feel inferior because we've been intimidated in reality, but we get wrong answers out of thinking. Okay? When we make enough mistakes by way of looking into our own thinking for answers, then all of a sudden we start to look to outside authorities, and they also make suggestions to us through the imagination, and before you know it, more problems. So the meditation helps you to get out of the imagination. Once you learn how to practice the meditation, then the next thing is to learn how to not be intimidated in reality. See, now, because most people are so reactive that they become reactive to just about everything, not only people, you know, not only authorities, parents, parent figures, people like their parents, not only that, but also we become intimidated by many other things, including eventually we become reactive to substances. You know, we get allergies and asthma, and we become sensitive to and reactive to circumstances, such as if somebody cuts in front of you with a car, or traffic is moving slowly, so on and so forth. You see what I mean? So we become very reactive. We react, 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 and we become intimidated by many things in reality. And the more things we're intimidated by, once again, the more we escape into the imagination. So we're intimidated in reality, and we escape into the imagination. And there we are ruled by not only those things that intimidated us, not only do we have a feeling of running from them because they know how to upset us, but then lost in the imagination, we eventually become subject to it too. It then begins to dominate us. So the next thing we need to learn after we learn how to meditate and practice it properly is to not be intimidated in reality. And the main way to not be intimidated in reality is to not be resentful, to learn not to be resentful. See, resentment is the inferior response. When we resent, it means our love has failed. And when our love has failed, our patience has failed. See, and when our patience has failed, we become impatient. Okay? And we become inferior to, resentful toward those people that are, well, that rule us and dominate us. And when our love and our patience fail and we're resentful, then we become angry and hostile and cruel to those who are maybe smaller than we are, or who we can intimidate. So we're intimidated by something, and then we pass it on to, and we intimidate somebody else. See what I mean? Which is not fair. And mostly we take it out on those we hurt the most, the ones we love. We take it out on our children, for example. We're intimidated at work and out in the world because we're resentful. And then we go home and we're cruel to our children or impatient with them. So the secret then is to learn not to be resentful. Okay? To observe calmly without resentment. That's your number one homework assignment, if you will, to go out in the world and face people, places, things, even face cruelty, puzzling situations, and so on and so forth, without becoming resentful. If you're not resentful, then you don't become disconnected from truth and love. See, you can continue to flow from within. And then you will not then become the cruel oppressor to those closest to you, like your own children. Okay? So now you see what meditation is all about. You see how important it is. It keeps you connected to the truth and love, which can come from within. See? It keeps you closer to the light instead of being lost in the dark light of the imagination. Okay? And once you're not lost in the imagination, then you face reality, you go out in the world, and then you observe situations that once made you resentful, and now you observe them without being resentful. See? So those are very, very important things. And here's a couple other things that you need to learn to watch for now as you hopefully will begin to practice the meditation with an attitude of wanting to know the truth instead of escaping from the truth. The other thing is to stop looking for love out in the world. See, love comes from within. It comes from God, from the Creator, from the one who made thee. And His love comes from within. You can feel it as a warm love. See? And He gives His warm love and His approval. You get His approval. And you look to Him instead of looking to people in the world for love and for answers. And when you are patient with your fellow human being, being patient means not resenting them. See what I mean? Not hating them, in other words. And so you get the warm love from Him. And when you get God's love and God's approval, you won't need the love and approval of other people anymore. See, the problem is in your fallen state, in your egotistical state. See, and that's the way we're born, actually. We're born as fallen creatures, so it's natural that we're born as little egos. And we become big egos. And so that's natural. And as little children, you look to your mom and dad, as you know, and especially dad. Father stands in for God. And when father was weak, or he wasn't there, or he was wimpy, or he was violent, or he was decent, but he failed you, see, then we resent our father, we have contempt for him, and our resentment of our father gets in the way of finding a bond with our Creator within. But then perhaps years go by, and then you become a parent, you discover that you're just like your parents were to you, and you see your own failings, and now you realize maybe your dad wasn't that bad after all. Your mom wasn't that bad, she didn't have love. And your father didn't have love either. He didn't have it. He couldn't give it because he didn't have it. He didn't have that mysterious agape love, that fatherly, emotionless love that comes from the Creator, because he didn't have a bond with the Creator. And if he didn't have a bond with the Creator, then no wonder he was suffering. See, no wonder he was weak and so on, or compensated. When you see all that, then it'll make it easier to forgive him, and to forgive your mom, and to forgive other people. Okay, maybe some of them were deliberately cruel, but maybe they weren't. You don't know. But as a child, you looked to them, and when they didn't have, see, what you wanted, you resented them for it. You went out into the world and looked for love from out there, from teachers, from coaches, from boyfriends, from girlfriends, from all manner of different people. You looked for love from bartenders and drug dealers and dope pushers and musicians and entertainers, and you wanted love from them. See, and you look to food and alcohol for love, see, to be your friend in need. And, well, they betrayed you, didn't they? So you didn't get love from the world, that made you more resentful. But now, maybe now you can see that there is no love out there. But if you can find a bond with your Creator, see, if you can learn to meditate and remain, and then go out into the world and not be resentful with other people, then you'll be able to have maintain that bond, and you won't need the love of other people. You'll be able to be there, you know, friendly and do business and so on, but you won't need them. See, it was your need that set you up. It was that need that set you up for disappointment and frustration and resentment. And it made you needy and greedy and grasping, and it even drove some people off. So as you stop looking for love of the world, see, then you won't need it anymore. See? All right, and then the other thing that is important is to learn to speak up. See, in the past, most of us have been too repressed. We have not said things. We bit our tongue. We walked around on eggshells. We were intimidated by other people. We didn't want to. We became a friend of the world. But remember what it said in the Bible: a friend of the world makes for enmity with God. Most of us become people pleasers. See, always trying to please other people and never rock the boat and never offend. Because if we do, we know that they'll pull the rug out from under us. So now you must learn to begin speaking up over little injustices. Okay, you must learn to start speaking up for yourself instead of being a doormat. It's a very, very important thing to begin to erase that inferiority and that intimidation, see, that the world has had over you. Okay, you need to shine forth. The place to begin is in little tiny things, not great big things. Begin with little tiny things and begin to speak up over those little things, and of course guided by intuition. Sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Sometimes nothing can be said. You know, if somebody cuts in front of you in traffic and then drives off ahead of you, well, just let it go. It's not that important. But there are other times, you know, if somebody cuts in front of you in line and say, "Excuse me, I was here first," and so on. You see what I mean? Learn to speak up. Because in the past, what's happened is you haven't spoken up, you repressed, and you suppressed. Okay? And by suppressing, see, what happened was underneath you were resentful. And then so you became angry and hostile underneath, and the anger festered. And then later on, when it was time to speak up, you couldn't. You became tongue-tied. You stumbled over your words. Or, if you did speak up, so much anger came out, see, so much repressed emotion that you made a fool of yourself or looked bad, so then that made you even more afraid of speaking up. So now you must learn to speak up. And the first few times that you do, there will be some anger bubbling out. And when it does, see, if you speak up over an injustice and you're right about what you say, just watch for the resentment. See, you have a right to speak up for yourself. Just watch out for the resentment. And if you're not resentful, then you speak up. And then if a little anger comes out, then say, "Well, I'm sorry about the anger, but I'm still right about what I said." You see what I mean? Very good. So I think these little tips will help you very much. Give you a clue of what meditation is, okay? Why it's important, and how it will help you to begin to live your life again, instead of hiding in a shell or being being intimidated by everything, or being the bully, or being the wimp, or You know, the ego always goes to its extremes. If you can find the center, your calm center of dignity, and then flow from that center, then life can indeed be a beautiful thing. Thank you very much for listening to this little exposition about the meditation.